Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock. It's Thursday evening. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. And right now you're listening to a very special edition of The Writer's Block.
Your baby boy will give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby
That is Mary, Did You Know by Kathy Mattea, and it has to undoubtedly be one of the finest new Christmas carols ever written. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
It is, and I'm so glad you started off the hour because I do like to remember the reason for the season.
Yes, yes.
And it does get lost so quickly and so easily, so that's a wonderful way to start tonight's celebration of our Christmas season.
It was just like everybody was sitting here just really quiet, just listening to the song. It's actually one of my very favorite Christmas carols.
It's a beautiful song.
It is. I am Jim Christina, your host. You've been listening to Bobby Jean Bell over there pontificate on the season, which I believe that is quite nice. We are in studio tonight with, we are actually missing our buddy Russ Avison. He had some eye surgery yesterday and he could not make it. But I'm told he will be calling in.
Oh, great.
And we're sitting in here. We have the bookie in house.
Hi, Jerry.
And we have, of course, Jim is here. And you can say, hello. There you go. And tonight we don't have a scheduled guest. And we ask anybody who's a fan of the show or past guests, call in and talk to us and tell us about your Christmas experiences as a child or even stuff that you've gone through later in life. And if you want to do that, the number here is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And, of course, The Writer's Block is brought to you partly by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley and Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall. And, of course, our wonderful, wonderful sponsors, Target Freight Management in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Okay, that being said, let's get it on. We're just going to sit here and just BS tonight about what went on in our childhood. And Bobby just brought a stack of books in here.
There's a library someplace missing a bunch of books.
And minus a whole bunch of books.
Well, you know, growing up, we were surrounded by books and going to museums and going to places like Sturbridge Village, which is a wonderful colonial village filled with historic homes. And when I think about Christmas, I go to those kind of places for memory. And books, definitely. Books and movies and music are, for me, three real memory makers as I look back over Christmas and what it means to me. So, yeah, so I brought a few of my favorites, everything from The Cowboy Night Before Christmas, written and illustrated by James Rice.
Which I do hope that you're going to read a little bit of, because it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And his illustrations are really fun. To The Polar Express, which is certainly a kind of a newer book. I was an adult when that came out. But, So Christmas for me is great literature and great movies and great music. What about you guys? What about you, Jerry? Tell us a little bit about Christmas for you.
Christmas? Christmas for me, when I was little, my mom had five brothers and three sisters. So I had lots of aunts and uncles and cousins, and I will never forget one Christmas when we were at my mother's youngest sister's house. And I was probably maybe 5 or 6 years old at the time. And all Christmases, we celebrated a dinner the night before and opened one gift. So there was lots of chips and dips and stuff. And she had this coffee table, I'll never forget it. And it had a railing around three sides of it. And then the middle of the longest rail, there was a fancy schmancy hole. So there was dips and chips on the other side. So I would lay underneath the table and stick my arm through the hole and, you know, thinking nobody's looking at me with this arm coming out of wood, reaching for chips and dips. That was my Christmas.
Well, it wasn't all of your Christmases.
No, it wasn't, but...
I have a great, real great story for Christmas. My grandparents lived in Clifton Street in Los Angeles, downtown. And I guess you would call it today East L.A. And at the time, we were living out in Riverside, and we went up there for Christmas one year. And they had always used to, coming from an Italian-American family, there was always tons of food laying around. And the tables were always up against the wall, you know, and long tablecloths covered the tables. And my grandpa made wine. And he used to make it down in the basement. And my brother and I decided we were going to go down and try some wine. So we got in, we opened a bottle of wine, and we drank the entire bottle of wine. And then we managed to make our way back upstairs and pass out underneath the table where they couldn't see us because of the long tablecloths. And I have to tell you, if my brother is listening to this right now, call in and verify this because we know what happened. And they looked all over for us. They could not find us. And finally, I don't remember who it was, lifted up the tablecloth, and there Wally and I were passed out like a light. We were out. That was my Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. I don't have any stories like that. This is my husband, Jim, who's been with us every show but tends to not be on mic. Jim, do you have any fun?
Being a farm boy, you should have a lot of Christmas tales.
Well, yeah, we do. We have one that ties in that way. And actually, it kind of, at the beginning of the season, it kind of starts at Thanksgiving. It kind of works its way into Christmas. Because we had a tradition for, I don't know, for about 20 years that we'd all go to my grandmother's house, which is my mom's parent, for Thanksgiving. And then every once in a while we'd repeat it and do that in December for Christmas. It was kind of, we'd have anywhere from maybe 10 to 15 people on the table for Thanksgiving dinner, included, of course, my sister and myself and my mom, my dad, and my grandparents, and of course my mom's brother and his wife, and their four girls. And it kind of started out, we'd get over there, and any younger kids would play in the living room, and any female over the age of 12 had to go into the kitchen and cook. But we guys, see, we had to do the guy thing, see, so we went hunting. So the first thing, we went to the tool shed and get our armament and head out to get the beasts. Now, we have about 100 acres there, so we'd head for the woods. And usually what we look for were rabbits and pheasants. That was more likely what we were going to get. Most of us weren't too good at shots, but my uncle was pretty good. He usually would bring something back. But his biggest concern was, of course, that I would not get behind him. The one thing he didn't want me to do is shoot him. He was always checking me out. He's a little nervous about that. But that's kind of the tradition. Then we come back in, and we have the meal, which is usually, I guess, around 2 o'clock. And then we usually did not go out again. It was kind of like where the Detroit Lions playing football. And we're going to watch that on TV.
This is Ohio. This would have been in Ohio, right?
Yeah,
in Ohio.
Yes, it was.
Well, when I was a kid, we lived for a period of time. We lived outside of Manhattan. My dad commuted into the city every day. So the last thing he really wanted to do was go into the city to celebrate the holiday, because he really didn't care for that, taking the bus and going in. But it became a tradition, and for a few years, we would go in, and we would walk past Macy's and Saks Fifth Avenue and look at the windows, and we would go in and see Santa. I was always a little afraid of Santa, actually. But one of the traditions was every year we picked, there was my brother, my sister, and I would get to choose an ornament. And in later years, we learned that my parents really were, just didn't really have a lot of additional income to be doing big splurges kinds of things. So it was an ornament. And so we had to really think about, you know, think about that. And those are really special memories of going into the city and just walking through those stores, looking at those windows. F.A.O. Schwartz. Wonderful toy store. I mean, there wasn't any stores like that where we were living in Jersey. So to go in, F.A.O. Schwartz, I remember looking at playhouses and cars for kids that I, you know, mostly we shopped out of the Sears catalogs, which had pretty amazing things in it,
too,
you know,
yeah.
The Wish book. But I remember my brother and I standing there looking at these, I guess they were kind of like pedal cars, but more souped up than pedal cars. And it's just like, there are things made like this, you know, like, you know, just a whole Woo-hoo. Different world. And just that real festive feeling in the air, like in the songs, you know, there were people selling chestnuts, hot chestnuts on the corners. And that just was to go into the city that was so different from where we were living at the time.
I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but from the time I was probably 10 years old, I unwrapped all my gifts. After my mom and dad went to bed, so I knew everything I was getting, and then I had to wrap them back up the way they were and put them underneath the tree exactly right.
Now, see, I would just think that was something from a movie. You actually did that. Well,
I did.
I didn't have the nerve. Well, there really weren't a lot of presents out in advance, actually. So we didn't really. There was a again when we were living in that same house in Jersey. It was a little split level, and they would hang an old army blanket. My folks would hang this old army blanket at the top of the stairs. And we were not allowed to go past that army blanket until Christmas morning. And my dad was a wonderful craftsman, and many phenomenal gifts that were given to us that came from Santa that we learned later were, you know, dad's making them down in the basement in the craft space, which was another area that was off limits. We never put two and two together, or we just didn't confess that we had put two and two together.
We used to have Christmas plans. I had four brothers and sisters. And starting December 1st, we would all huddle in a bedroom. It didn't matter whose bedroom. And we'd make plans as, okay, now, who's going to get up first? Who's going to do this? Who's going to be on lookout? Who's going to go to the tree? You know, and it was just, it was different every year. But then we had the two smallest ones, and they always blew it. You know? They'd go running and go, ooh! You know?
So now I'm going to ask a little bit about, because it is really fun to think about the, besides our actual physical sort of traditions, is there a favorite movie or a favorite story, you know, that this season just isn't the season without? Jim, is there something that you...
For me, I think it's probably Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
and only because I wasn't around then, but close to it. And I can remember wanting a Red Ryder BB gun, you know, and there's just all this neat stuff that's not around now. You know, it's stuff didn't break so easily back then. And now it's like you get it and 2 days later it's in a closet.
Right.
And,
right.
Or the batteries are dead.
It's such a wonder, and that's such a wonderful book.
It is.
Well, Gene Shepherd, A Christmas Story. Yeah. Jerry, does that movie have any meaning for you?
We just watch it every year. Yeah. Every year. That and Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
We can't go a year without watching that. In fact, the kids came over on Thanksgiving and we watched that movie.
Yeah, it was. And we all sat in there and laughed because it is a very funny movie and it's easy to get wrapped up in it.
Oh, it's the putting the lights up on the house and the...
and running the icicle through the neighbor's window.
I was going to ask back to A Christmas Story. Well, the leg lamp, you know.
Oh yeah.
There's a house in our neighborhood that has a big like lamp in the window, and I just think that's just the whole.
They still sell those.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah. Oh yeah.
The guy's making a killing.
Oh yeah, and you know the house that was the house is a museum.
Right now it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And but you know there's so many sub stories that were going on in right. that story. I think that's one reason I like that. And it has a little Western thing going on in there, too, you know.
Well, sure. With the Red Ryder 250-shot repeater BB gun.
And the scene where he's, you know, he's in his fancy shops and those bad
right.
guys
right.
coming over the fence. And oh, it's just a, that's a good one. Okay. So you're showing me.
I'm waving at you.
Okay, so is it time to do our
it
our
is.
Our first ad live ad for the evening?
It is.
Okay, so should I take it away?
I think you should.
Target Freight Truckload, TFM, is a division of Target Freight Management and, quite honestly, the finest truckload company in the United States. If you are looking for a reputable freight company for full truckloads that get to you 100% of the time, call Target Freight TFM Truckload. Call them today at 1-844-653-7789. Tell them you heard this on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something special for you. So get a pen, because here's the number one more time. 1-844-653-7789.
It's a necessary evil.
And we thank them. We really thank them.
We do. And let's you know, shout out to them that I hope they have a wonderful holiday season and a Merry Christmas to all those people in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So, okay, back to the Christmas story because it's a great, great story. You're up.
Okay, so, you know, one of, and Jerry, we were talking about this before the show. One of my favorite scenes is, well, there's that fun Christmas parade, and then they're looking in the window. All those kids are just staring at all the toys in the window. But then we go in, and they're going to visit Santa Claus. And that's sort of one of the creepiest sort of scenes. No. But you were sharing that mm-hmm. out here. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when I was little, I lived in Culver City, and we would go to Westchester to the Broadway department store. And it was two stories, and right smack dab in the middle, they would have that very same scene with a Santa sitting high up on a pedal, and you'd have to walk up these stairs with, behind all of these kids and their moms. And then on the other side, after you got off of Santa's lap, then you slid down a slide. So that really did happen to me, but what was amazing to me in the movie is that they had the Wizard of Oz people in there, and to me, if at Christmas time, which walks through that store? That's kind of creepy to me. Are those little monkey people? You know,
it was kind
crazy.
Of, it's one of the sort of creepy scenes. and Jim, I know we love watching it every year. Is there a favorite scene from that movie that you enjoy?
Well, it's just kind of interesting. You know, when he finally overcomes the bully, you know, and it seems like back in those days, I guess there's boy, you know, there's lots of bullies today, but it seemed like. To me, because I grew up about that period, that it was exactly like that.
And yeah.
It didn't. And actually, when it comes to a bully, it didn't make any difference whether you beat him up or not. As long as you confronted him, that usually took care of the problem.
Yeah, they went and picked on somebody who wasn't going to fight back.
That's right. You know, when we talk about that BB gun, you know, at that time, that was kind of like, for a guy, for a young kid, that was like a rite of passage. To get,
oh, absolutely.
To get that BB gun.
Absolutely.
Know?
I've been stung more than once in my butt with a BB from my wonderful brother.
Well, I love his imagination. You know, he's gonna has to write that composition, and the teacher, and he's you know writing it out, and he has this vision. You know, he's such a wonderful imagination. And I love that the movie shows us that imagination, and then the reality. You know, and she gives him a bad grade and says, "You'll shoot your eye out." You know,
give him like a D plus or something. And then shoot your eye out.
She opens the drawer. And there's all those chattering teeth, and you know.
And then, what was his name? They had stuck his tongue on the.
Schwartz. Yeah. Was it Schwartz?
Schwartz or
no,
no. Is it something with it? Okay, callers, call us.
Fick?
Which one was it?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, that's a famous scene with the I remember even hearing interviews talking to the actors about how they did that and how they got his, you know, made that happen.
But that's how kids were, you know. Kids would, they dare somebody else to do something.
Well, it was a triple dog
dare. Triple dog dare, yeah.
You never turned down a triple dog dare. I mean, talk about a wussy. You turned down a triple dog dare. You're pretty much out of the group.
Right.
Okay, so Jim shared that A Christmas Story was one of his favorites.
Right.
Jerry, do you have a favorite movie or book?
Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation. I love it. I absolutely love it. And even the other movie, Christmas Story, you can watch them, and you can watch them every single year, and you can always see something that you've not seen before.
Right.
Which is amazing to me.
Right.
I mean, what is that absolute scream in that particular film is Darren McGavin goes down and fights with the furnace.
Yeah.
And all you hear is world-class swearer. Yeah.
And the mother, she's like the buffer between the father and the kids. And she makes, I don't know if you noticed, but she makes meatloaf and red cabbage almost every single night.
Yeah. And mashed potatoes.
And mashed potatoes.
And the little brother who, you know, hides in the cabinet. But then when he gets stressed to go out, you know, he can't put his arms down. He's in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Oh, let's see. Jim, do you have a favorite Christmas movie besides Christmas Story?
I like both those movies. I also like It's a Very Good Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, Wonderful Life. Yeah, with James Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Donna Reed was in that.
Yep.
A lot of people were in that movie.
Yeah, that's certainly true. A perennial favorite as
now,
well.
Now, as far as literature goes, I have to say, A Cajun Night Before Christmas, mon Dieu. My brother brought that one year when we all used to get together for Christmas later in life, and he opened that piece of paper up and he started reading that, and I was in stitches on the floor. It is one of the funniest things. And you have a cowboy one here.
I do have a cowboy one here. And then I have a book by Barbara Robinson, a little paperback called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And I remember my sister is a children's librarian, and I remember my sister giving me this book a few years ago. I think we were actually in the car together driving somewhere. And I read this, like, aloud in the car because I had to keep saying, oh, you got to hear this, you know. You know when you do that? And it had me just rolling on the floor. So a recommendation, a best picks for Christmas to our listeners is go get yourself The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. The Cowboy Night Before Christmas is, let's see if it's, do you want me to read something from it?
Yeah, read something out of it.
Okay, let's see. We'll just read a little bit from the very beginning. 'Twas a cold Christmas Eve on the southwestern plain, and the north wind was blowing through a broke window pane. In that sod shanty shack far from home, warmth and care, shivered two lonely cowboys, such a scraggly pair. They crowded the fireplace where the flames flickered low from smoldering embers that heated too slow. Then a knock at the door and a bang on the wall. Over the sound of the storm, they heard a voice call. "Please open the door and let me come in. I'm near froze to death and chilled to the skin." The door was unbolted and then opened wide, and a fat little old man jumped quickly inside. There was frost on his whiskers and ice hung from his nose. He shivered and shook from his head to his toes. In spite of discomfort, he didn't complain. His expression was jolly as he paused to explain. "I was moving this cargo and making good time. I'd covered the country from desert to pine till I crossed the border to this panhandle land, and the southwestern northern commenced stirring the sand. The temperature dropped more than 100 degrees, and my team soon fled north where they'd less likely freeze."
There's just so much stuff out there.
That was The Cowboy Night Before Christmas, written and illustrated by James Rice, and it's really very fun illustrations, too.
It is. There was a Curious George in Christmas. It was about the monkey and the guy, man with the yellow hat.
Oh, yes.
And I used to read all those Christmas, little golden Christmas books, you know, the little golden books.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Used to read all those, and every it was no matter what season, I grabbed every book I could find on the season and just devoured them. And that's probably why I'm so dumb today.
Well, my dad used to read to me the night before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Every single Christmas. And by the time he got to where it says he threw up the sash, mm-hmm. my dad would always say he threw up the hash. This is sort of my father's sense of humor.
That his third bourbon?
Well, and the night that his friend was dressed up in a Santa suit and came to our house drunk. And
I think there's a story in there somewhere.
But I was little, and I was eating See's candy. I would take a bite to find out which was my favorite one. And none of them turned out to be my favorite one because I would take a bite and put one back. And then the knock at the door with the drunk guy, and then and then he just had really red cheeks, and he went out to the car. He was done telling me Merry Christmas and turn around and leaving, and then he got sick. So that was a Christmas to remember.
Did you ever get in trouble for taking a bite and putting it back?
No.
You ever got in trouble?
No.
Oh, we used to open candy all the time. There was bites taken out of it. It used to infuriate me.
No, that was not allowed in our house.
Oh, yeah. You got five kids. No one polices anybody.
No, you know, I was little. I was the runt of the bunch, so nobody ever got mad at me.
We had one Christmas. We were in the Philippines, and we were did our Christmas plans. And my little brother Patrick and Bonnie were the guards, and my sister Margaret and Wally and I got up early, of course, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're trotting up there to the living room to see what's going on. And that time it was like in the Philippines, it's still like 90 degrees in December. It's like, but we didn't care. So we go out there, and there's all this wonderful stuff around the Christmas tree. Santa Claus had been there, and it was just like this really great stuff. And I looked over, and in the corner was this like 50 caliber machine gun on a tripod. Okay. It was a very cool. Did you ever see one of those?
Yeah.
And so I went over and I sat behind it and I yanked the bolt back and hit the fly, and it starts going, ba 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 ba. And there comes my dad around the corner. He goes, "Gotcha."
We were very tame. We didn't know any families like any of your families.
Hey, we were a fun group. Well, I won't say none of us are in jail, but very few of us are.
Now, did any of you go out caroling as kids? Or
as small kids, yeah, we used to.
Did you do it with your family or with like a group, a church group or a scout group?
No, with your family, because when you got seven people, you got a whole choral group.
And did you have tradition of decorating the outside of the house?
My mother, we always lived in a place that had a picture window.
Uh-huh.
As was wont to be in the 50s, they always had a picture window in front. So she would every year, like right after Thanksgiving, she would get her watercolors out, and she would sit, pull the couch back. She would sit there, and she would paint a Christmas scene on the window, backwards. So when you looked at it from the outside, it was like that.
Do you guys remember?
She did. I remember the stencils, but she never used them. She was quite the artist, and she never did anything with it, but other than paint the pictures on the picture window.
Isn't that
Christmas
fun?
Time, yeah.
So did you have a picture window too, Jerry?
We didn't. We had the two pane windows side by side in front, but we always put our – another dad story. two dad stories, actually. We had a little plastic Santa Claus that would light up that you're just supposed to put in the window. Uh-huh. We had a chimney, and my dad put it on top of the chimney. You couldn't even see it. It looked like a light bulb. But he put it on the chimney, and he would light that every year. And then when we would go to buy a Christmas tree, he was so upset with my mom and me. We'd go pick out the trees, and he didn't like the way they looked. So he went out and bought a tree. And parts of it were bare, so he cut some of the limbs and put it up in the tree, but he put him in upside down. And we had friends over, and the lady was sitting there looking, and she's, how did this tree grow branches upside down and some right side up? Plus that he took, I don't know if you remember the flash cubes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He would hang those
yes.
by strings and hang them on the tree.
That was very
kind of like popcorn.
Yeah, I remember seeing flat with like little Santa hats on them.
Oh, really?
Like really? Used ones, you know, and then people would like use them to decorate them to hang. It's kind of a memory I didn't have until just now, actually.
It's amazing when you sit around and just BS about time going by.
Absolutely. Did you, Jim, did your family decorate outside the house or just inside?
When I was a kid, we never decorated outside the house. We never did anything on the picture windows. And my mom usually kind of led the drive to getting the Christmas tree and putting the decorations up. My dad never helped, but he sat there on the couch and complained about how we did it wrong.
That's kind of your dad. That would sort of be your dad.
Yeah, he would probably be on his fourth or fifth birthday.
Hey, that was the days.
We had a nativity set that my folks somehow kind of, you know, had the basic family and some shepherds and things. And then over the years, my sister and I would go to the local, I want to say it was either a Woolworths or a Kresge's, a local kind of general store, dime store. That's when we didn't have all the things that we have today, not even Kmart's and things, you know, at that time. And we would always buy one or two more pieces. And then we would place them Christmas Eve in the Nativity. The Nativity always went under the tree. And we would put it under, as soon as the tree went up and was decorated, then my sister and I would, that was a big thing that we did. We'd put the Nativity under the tree. And then the whole thing was to try to guess what were the new, you know, what were the new characters. And that was a very special time. And I still have that nativity. And then she found, she was visiting us. We were in an antique store in Pasadena and found that same initial family, you know, very recognizable, having known that nativity so well. And now she has she has that one too. And that was a big part of our tradition was putting up the nativity and doing an Advent calendars as well.
I remember the Advent calendars. With a piece of chocolate in behind?
Yeah. Well, only one year because then you ate them. You know?
Well, yeah. The Advent calendars were only good for one year.
We all had Advent calendar collections.
Oh, sure.
My grandparents had sort of started us on that. And they would mail one, you know, every year. And that became a family tradition. And then the Advent candle on the Sunday night of every Sunday in December, there was a special Bible reading and the lighting of a candle. And that was always another kind of really important tradition that I'd sort of forgotten about. It's been fun thinking about actually this show and what kinds of things that were traditions that we haven't necessarily gone forward with. Mm. Just life being what life is and really missing them.
Mm-hmm. When we had a family reunion, I guess 1982? No, 84. I don't remember. But it's the first time in like 15 years, all of the brothers and sisters were together. My folks, all the kids. And my daughter was like scared to death that Santa wasn't going to find her.
Of course.
So halfway through the party, I was probably on my third bourbon. And I told my dad I was going to go over to my brother's. He lived across the street in another apartment. My folks ran an apartment complex in, what was it? Where the Crystal? Garden Grove.
Oh, Garden Grove.
Yeah. And so I went over to my brother's apartment and I called. And I asked to talk to Sarah. And she picked up the phone and I said, I gave her the ho, 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 and this is Santa Claus. And I understand that you are worried that I will not find you. I already know where you are. So,
Santa had GPS way before anybody else.
She was
did,
like,
you know?
I came back and she goes, Dad, Santa already told me he knew where I was. Oh my God, it was just great. It was one of the high points.
Well, the house that we had when we were living in Jersey did not have a chimney. And so, you know, that was a real puzzle to me.
Front door.
And yes. And then when we moved to Connecticut, that had a fireplace and it had a chimney. And it was very reassuring that now, you know, there'd be no problem. He definitely would get here.
It is time now to spend some of Target Freight's money. So with everyone's permission, we shall go forward with our second live ad for the evening for Target Freight Management. If you're an LTL shipper out there, chances are you're looking for a great company to help you move your freight. Look no further. Target Freight Management is and should be your company of choice. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to getting your freight moved the way you want to move it. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com. That's 888-653-1323. Write that down. I'll read it one more time. 888-653-1323. You won't be sorry, and you truly won't be. I use them. And again, I want to wish everyone at Target Freight a Merry Christmas and a wonderful holiday season. And we are back on the air.
I think they work with Santa, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. I had a feeling that there was a connection there.
They're connected to everybody.
100% delivery rate.
They actually, a little outside of Target Freight, last year they were voted the fastest growing business in Pittsburgh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. They got this big, huge award and a banquet. And
very
so, funny. Yeah. That's anyway, cool. Enough of Target Freight. So, back to Christmas.
Okay, so now I want to know about favorite foods.
Oh, man.
Or cookies or, you know, whatever when you...
Snickerdoodles.
And was it... Did Mom make them?
Or oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing my mom really cooked well was snickerdoodles. She could cook a turkey pretty good, but every, you know, we would wind up with more of her blood on the turkey than the turkey's blood. She cut her thumb so many times. She had a big giant cyst on it.
Oh,
and she cut it the same place every year.
Oh my gosh.
Man, could that woman cook some snickerdoodles.
And she only did them at holiday time.
Only at Christmas time. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And their snickerdoodles are so good.
Well, they are, and I kind of think of them as it could be a year-round
kind of cookie,
but okay.
You know, I love snickerdoodles. So that's my input.
Make a note of that.
Yeah. Snickerdoodles.
And Jerry?
Well, it's not a dad story, but it's a mom story. She used to put the turkey in the oven at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we'd have to smell that turkey cooking for 5 hours. To the point where my dad and my sister and I would love to go to a Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day and eat with us so we didn't have to eat turkey. But we would have a big spread like around 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And
yeah, but you didn't have a bunch of dogs coming in and grabbing
No, we didn't. No, we...
Which also was another
funny
yeah.
scene. From
we didn't, movie. But at 3 o'clock I wish we had, so.
Yeah. And Jim, what about you?
I said about the dogs. You know? We are dogs, but I can remember we had this monster cat one time. And you really couldn't turn your back on the table. Well, it was on the table and gone with whatever was up there. We also had a dog, too, at the same time, and the dog would cower in the corner because it knew he didn't have a chance against the cat.
Scared to death of the cat?
Yeah. You opened the refrigerator door, and the cat was in there.
Well, again, we just weren't like any of you.
Bobby was sheltered.
And it shows.
Oh, there were lots of wonderful cookies my mom pretty much makes only this time of year. And one, and I'm thinking a box came from her today. It's just possible that there might be snowballs, which are also known as Russian tea cakes. And I think even can be called wedding cakes, too. They're really tasty. They're little round balls that are just rolled in confectioner's sugar. And it's a very simple recipe, but... they're just like to die
for. I've seen
for.
Those before.
Yeah, they're a friend of mine, a performer, Nancy Elliott, today on her Facebook page, she posted a photograph of those, and it's a tradition in her family. And I was drooling. I was looking at the photo of Nancy's and thinking, you know, I need to make some of those. But there were several cookies that my mom really only did this time of year. One was also called a Kris Kringle that had a little... candied cherry on top. You kind of pushed the cherry, you know, into the dough. So it, really, really good. And then fruitcake.
Oh.
We are a family that we do like fruitcake.
You don't?
Yeah. I got a fruitcake story, too.
Oh, me too.
Well, we like fruitcake. And when we were living in Jersey, there was a gentleman my dad worked with in the city. And every year, his wife, her name was Amanda Billington, she made these fruit cakes that were given as gifts. And we absolutely loved this fruit cake. Now, there are fruit cakes and, you know, there's lots of different kinds. Amanda Billington's fruit cake, there isn't anything else like it. And somehow we got the recipe, and my sister-in-law has been making this root cake now, keeping up the tradition for, oh, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And it arrived the other day. And it is absolutely delicious. And we usually don't eat it till about February, because even though it's tasty right now, it's better in February.
Does it have rum in it?
It has something in it. And it has a lot of fruit. Mm. And there isn't a lot of cake. It's really, really, really wonderful, tasty fruit. And then my mom had a great recipe for hard sauce that we make to put on top of it. And that's just really special. So I know there's a lot of fruit cake jokes and things. I get a little offended. Don't tell me any fruit cake jokes.
Oh, I have to share this fruit cake joke. One of my aunts, I don't remember whether it was Tilly or May, but they used to send a fruitcake over every year. And there was, you know, the traditionally fruitcake wrapped in foil and then wrapped in saran wrap, and you'd get it. And we always announced the arrival of the doorstop.
Just send it to me. We will.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. You didn't want this fruitcake. Oh. Even whiskey sauce wouldn't make it taste any better.
Well, my mother used to, I don't know if you guys remember this, but coffee used to come in the small cans.
Yeah.
The, you know, I don't know, 6, 7 ounces, something like that. And my mother for a year would save coffee cans because that's what she would make the fruitcakes in. Uh-huh. And she would line the insides of the can. But the nobody had the heart to tell her that they couldn't stand her fruitcakes. They were so awful because the currants, you know, okay. And not just the jelly fruits. It was the currants that was awful. But she would start probably first part of December and make fruitcakes, and nobody liked.
Yeah, and that's probably true with lots of different foods. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a gentleman that I knew for a number of years. His mother, they were an Italian family, and they did 7 kinds of fish, I think, on Christmas Eve. It was a real tradition, and I mean, it was a big spread, and cod that you would have to soak for, like, days. Jim Christina's shaking his head like, yeah, I know all about this. And, you know, to go to dinner there, that was a real different experience for me, because that meal was just unbelievable. And my brother-in-law, his family was Lithuanian, and they had totally different kinds of fish and traditions. Exactly. And food, and that was always really fun to have that opportunity to experience somebody else's traditions.
My father used to roast a duck.
Or goose. I mean, I think Tom's family would do goose, wouldn't they? Yeah. Right. Yeah, but they do duck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd roast a duck, and he did it every year. And every year, I was too young to have duck. My older brother got to have duck.
Hear that, Wally?
Hear that, Wally? I'm still pissed about the duck.
You're on the list, Wally.
So, incidentally, you're out of the will. So the one year I was old enough to have duck, Dad says, "Well, when you turn 7, you can have duck."
Oh, wow.
He stopped making duck.
Oh.
I always figured that's the way it is when you're the second kid. You know, the tradition dies when you're 6.
Yeah. When did you get to join the adults at the grown-up table?
Oh, golly. I was 13 before I realized that fried bread wasn't meat. So I think I was probably in my mid-teens. We have a caller. Mr. Russell Avison is on the
wonderful
line.
Oh, wonderful.
Russ!
Hello.
Hello, hello. Right. We're just having a great time. Wish you were here.
Merry Christmas.
You have been having a good time.
Yes, so I know.
I didn't want to take more than a minute because you guys are having fun and I'm really enjoying listening to it, but I just wanted to tell you my Christmas stuff.
Okay.
Right. Favorite Christmas movie was The Shining.
why doesn't that surprise me?
The best food when we were kids was whatever we could get that the dog didn't eat. My best Christmas story is the one Christmas that the hogs ate my little brother. And our best Christmas tradition was where I used to bet with my sisters. We had a betting pool to see as when my parents would pass out.
Who won?
I never did, I'll tell you that. Listen, you guys guys have a great time. I just wanted to call and say hi, and sorry I couldn't be with you all, but I'm having a great time listening to you. It's been good. And, Bobby, no on the fruitcake.
Yay, we got another no.
Hey, Russ, have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks. You guys all do the same. I appreciate it.
Okay, Russ, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
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 You know, making fruitcake really must be a real art, because I never liked fruitcake myself, you know, growing up. And Peggy's fruitcake is really different than anybody,
so good.
Anything I've ever eaten.
And it is quite
a their fruitcake.
And she does a lot of, I mean, it's a big project.
My a friend of mine's mother used to make fruitcake, and she made this rum whiskey sauce that goes over the top of it. Uh-huh. And you always thought, well, it's not a question of, did they really put rum in here or whiskey? It was always, did I call you last night? I love you, man.
Oh,
it's like eating a rum baba at a restaurant.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
Funny. Anyway. Back to the... I was going to say bullshit.
This is LA Talk Radio.
I know, but...
We can be
I try to refrain.
You know? Let's see. What would be another good... well, even though our time is coming quickly to an end, but we are not going to see each other until we're back on January 7th.
January 7th.
So is there... I'd just be interested if there a New Year's... You know, a New Year's tradition or a New Year's Eve tradition, something about, because that's just 2 weeks, it's hard to believe, but we're like 2 weeks away from New Year's.
You know what my New Year's Eve tradition is? Go to bed at 9:30.
Still? Or
yeah.
Yeah. And then New Year's Day, is there anything you do special?
No, I used to watch the Rose Bowl, but I don't do that so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Just kind of hang out.
Uh-huh.
If Carl Jr.'s open, we...
Yeah, that's where we go. Cause, well, Jerry loves to cook. And if she can't find a box to open, we have to go out. Which is fine.
I happened to say one night, I wish we had a bakery here, because I love those hamburger rolls that they have at Sutter's Mill. And he goes, you want to have a bakery? And I said, I don't cook. Why would I want to have a bakery?
That's true. So she goes, I'll tell you what. I said, what's for dinner? She says, I'm taking you to Sutter's for bar food.
Jim, what about you? Anything on New Year's?
Well, we watched the Rose Bowl Parade. Mm-hmm. And when we were in Pasadena, we used to go out on the corner and watch them wind up the night before.
That's a favorite memory for Jim and me, is our years in Pasadena, moving from Connecticut, where we always watched the Rose Parade. And so to find ourselves living on the parade route, and actually the part of the parade route where the floats actually line up, and to me, New Year's Eve became, as much as I loved Christmas and Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve as an adult living in Pasadena on that parade route became really the most fun to go out, walk out, and watch that parade begin to come to life at, you know, midnight, all the people that have been camping out. The floats beginning to come into position, people so excited. And then we'd walk around till like 2 a.m. or so, and then head home to get up and come back out now as the sun's coming up to watch it, you know, go down the side streets and see the equestrian units and see where the bands are lining up and really kind of watch the parade come to life, watch the flyover, and then go back to watch it on KTLA so we could actually hear about the, you know.
Bob Eubanks and Stephanie Edwards.
Exactly. And that's always been a tradition, but to actually be, you know, see it live and all. Never thought growing up as a kid.
It's cold in Pasadena early on January 1st.
It is. You do kind of have to come in layers, especially if you're going to camp, you know, outside.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not, though. I remember one year it was like in the 80s.
Well, it will warm up pretty darn quickly.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of asphalt around there, too, so it gets warm.
But and then, you know, within minutes after that parade is down Colorado, you'd never know there'd been a parade, except for, you know, a bleacher still being up and things like that. But it would look like, you know, like nothing had happened. It's amazing how that parade operates.
I don't know. Has it ever rained on the Rose Parade?
Yes.
I think it missed it 1 year.
It has,
a couple years
it
back.
It has rained. It has rained.
And they don't hold it if it's on a Sunday, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
They don't hold it what?
It's only when it's on a Sunday.
That's right. It goes. They move it to Monday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Another wonderful, event with a lot of history.
We got invited 1 year when we had a writing group called the Chesapeake River Shadow Writers. Got invited to be in the Rose Parade, and we turned them down.
It's something. I think riders have to be ready like at 4 in the morning.
Yes.
And it's like you don't have coffee or, you know, you're going to be on horseback.
And until, the rules were, you know, 5 pages long. Yeah, you had to have neoprene horseshoes and you had a 5-mile parade.
Yes, route. You have a 5-mile. And, the equestrians, those horses really need to
be very comfortable
mm-hmm. in that parade environment.
And those horses take a beating on that asphalt.
Yeah. It's a wonderful event. And, it's certainly been a tradition in our family for as long as watching the Macy's Parade on Thanksgiving and watching the Rose Parade, traditions that we've had.
You know, that one year, you know, speaking of horses, you know, keeping the horses under control, you know, that's always a little bit of an opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And I know some of the riders probably not quite as experienced, obviously, as some of the others, but at one time we were right down in the grandstand.
That was our first year.
TV station.
Yeah.
And TV cameras, and all of a sudden one... I think it was the Hunt Club wagon, their cart.
Was out of control.
Out of control. And Dwight Yoakam came out of the crowd.
We're standing next to this guy in this gorgeous, like, Navajo blanket coat. And I'm looking at him, and I think he kind of looks familiar. And he goes running out and grabs the reins on, like, the lead horse. And then when we had taped the parade, so we're back watching it, and Bob Eubanks says, "I think that's Dwight Yoakam. Oh, my gosh." Anyway, we see what time it is.
Yeah, I'm afraid we've outstayed our welcome here at LA Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody who's listening tonight to listened in and able to share our Christmas experiences. And we have, we're going to get to you in just a second. We have I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. Our encore programming for Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve is as follows. Christmas Eve, the encore program will be tonight's show. And on New Year's Eve, the encore program will be last week's show with Heidi Gilbert.
Oh, great.
So make sure that our engineer gets that all set up for you so we won't be dark. We just won't be on the air, at least live.
And then January 7th, we're back.
With Craig Johnson. And the bookie has our schedule. So she's going to read it off real quick.
Craig Johnson is on the 7th of January. Bill Wilbur will be on the 14th of January. Troy D. Smith is scheduled for the 21st. And Jillian Boyd will be on the 28th, and she's a friend of Russ Abison's.
She's his old radio partner.
Wonderful.
And she's a writer and a director, and she's a fun lady. And her writing partner will be with her. I want to wish everyone an absolute wonderful holiday, a Merry Christmas. Jim and Bobby,
Merry Christmas.
It's been fun for this year, and let's make it even better next year. Merry Christmas to you two.
Dream come true. You got it launched.
Yep, we did. Took us a while, but it's now on the air. Okay, everybody, we are going to be out of here in about 1, 2, 3.
Your baby boy would someday walk on water. Barry, did you know that your baby boy would save?